All right, so we're waiting on what's happening behind closed doors in a delegate meeting at CTU about a possible teacher strike. But today was a huge day when it comes to negotiations, not just here in Chicago, but what Springfield has promised. Of course, the veto session in Springfield has begun, and we are seeing more and more coming out of it, not just about the legislation that you know they want to pass through in this session, but a lot of other things, including corruption. Heather Sharone covers politics for both Chicago County, Springfield, for the Daily Line. She's a managing editor there, and she joins me on the line, as she does every Wednesday. Heather, good evening.
Hi, Justin.
All right, so let's get right into this. This is you're seeing some stuff leak out tonight just about this closed door meeting. Are we expecting the delegation to vote tonight? And if so, do you have anything from reading the tea leaves if they're going to vote for a contract?
Well, it's not going to be an easy process. So obviously the news media isn't allowed inside the House of Delegates, but I started to get some reports that there have been a number of teachers who have urged their colleagues to reject the deal that Mayor Lori Lightfoot and the big bargaining team has negotiated. And it's not clear to me whether that deal includes what seemed to be this afternoon the last remaining sticking point between the two sides about whether they would make up the 8 of the 10 days that students now missed. Now, obviously, if students don't make up those days, teachers don't get paid. So Mayor Lori Lightfoot has been very clear. She said, look, I'm not tacking these days on to the end of the school year. I'm not, you know, shortening Christmas vacation. You just won't be paid for those days. And she has been consistent on that point. And now CTU, the teachers, are saying that that is the last remaining sort of thing to figure out. So it's not clear whether that agreement with those days being made up is being presented to the delegates and whether Mayor Lori Lightfoot has agreed to that. So we're all flying a little bit blind until spokespeople come out of the meeting and tell us what happened.
And I can understand, Heather. I mean, as a parent, the idea of stretching 8 or 10 more days into, you know, the school year already ends in the middle of June. We'd be talking to the 4th of July holiday. I can understand why the mayor would want to protect that. But at the same time, as Texters have pointed out as well, that, you know, there are some for retiring teachers. There's an impact on their pension. There's, you know, just the idea that teachers are essentially laid off at the end of June and picked back up in September. So the idea of missing 10 days of pay is a big deal.
It is. So under state law, if kids go back to school tomorrow, the school district has to make up 2 days to meet the minimum number of instructional days as in state law. So we're on overtime, if you will. So the question is, what of the first 8 days is going to be made up? Now, back in 1987, the last time teachers were out for an extended period of time, they were out for 19 days. They did make up those days. And it is very unusual for a strike to end and have makeup days not included as part of the agreement, because, of course, those days constitute a pay cut. It's also a little bit tricky, I think, for the mayor, because she has been negotiating hard to prevent a reduction in the school day. Now, teachers have said we need more prep time, especially at the elementary school level, and the mayor has said we're not reducing the school day. So now she's sort of in a position where she's saying, well, I fought to prevent the school day from being, you know, reduced in time, but we're shortening the school year by more than a week.
Yeah, you start to get into hypocrisy, right?
Right. So it's a delicate dance on both sides. I think probably looming very large in the teachers' minds this evening is the fact that if they don't go back to school Friday, the city can cancel their health insurance, which means that they would have to pay both the employee portion of their health care and the employer part of their health care, which is very, very expensive if anybody has ever had the unfortunate situation of having to use COBRA. That is really going to be, you know, something that they're going to be thinking about a lot. Also to be an issue is that if the students aren't back in school Friday, the football teams will not be allowed to play in the IHSA state tournament, and that will doom those seniors who were, I'm sure, hoping to catch the eyes of college scouts and to go out in the blaze of glory as we all did in high school. Right, Justin?
You're right. I don't know what I would have done if I wasn't able to play that final fourth doubles on the tennis team. So we've had a lot of this, and you know, even through robocalls and mass emails and being a CPS parent myself, There's a lot of manipulation and politicizing of this issue. As for two entities, the teachers union and the mayor's office, to be both Democrat and both somewhat progressive, they've said many a time that they are, most of these issues they're in line with. But it has gotten nasty in the last couple of days, to the point where it seems like they're trying to both win the hearts and minds of the narrative and with the Chicago public school parents. And I don't think it's working for either side.
There's certainly more than enough, upset and stress and angst to go around. My kids aren't in CPS, and, I'm thinking about my colleagues who have young kids and who are not only, struggling to do their jobs, but, they've got to figure out how to, keep their kids occupied and safe during the day. And, we're really sort of in uncharted territory. Harold Washington was mayor the last time that students were out of school this long. And, these sort of strikes were really thought to be a thing of the past, especially, like you said, when you've got a mayor and a union, that if, put them in a room and said, do you agree on, points A through Z, they would agree on all 26 of those points, just not how to implement those promises and how to put it in the contract.
Now, one of the issues, which was a big part, was about the elected school board. There's also a question just about, we've heard this so many times the media coverage about what is strikable. What could strike over? And you saw Springfield and specifically Speaker of the House Mike Madigan kind of come to the rescue for Chicago Teachers Union today, saying, hey, coming up in the spring, we're going to tackle both of those issues. We're going to tackle getting to the selected school board for you, and we're also going to change the bill that's, or the law that says that you can only strike over certain things. I mean, that has to be almost like the cavalry for Chicago Teachers Union, the downstate Democrats.
Well, I don't think so, actually, because the teachers union wanted those bills to move through the veto session, which is going on right now. Mm. They wanted those bills passed this week or next week. And the fact that, the Speaker of the House and the Senate Democrats are saying, no, we agree, we'll move these bills, we're going to do it in the spring, was not really what the teachers union was looking for. They wanted these bills passed, in the spring session. So now, this was another chance for them to get those bills to move. They're being told they're not going to move now.
Interesting. Okay.
And the problem is that if you push things off, and I know this well, if you push them off, it becomes easy to sort of, get distracted by the next shiny thing, or in Illinois' case, the next, corruption crisis, right, or whatever have you. So the teachers' representatives that I spoke with today were annoyed. I mean, because everybody's on record in Springfield as supporting an elected school board. Everybody's on record in Springfield supporting expanding what the teachers can bargain over and can strike over. It's just these bills haven't gotten across the finish line for 3 years. This would be the fourth try in 4 years.
What's holding it up? What's the whole? I don't understand. I mean, is it just politics in the sense that they say we're for it and then they sweep it under the rug?
Well, the first three times it was Governor Bruce Rauner, who was Republican and who opposed an elected school board, who blocked it. And then the fourth time, after she was elected and a little bit before she took office, Mayor Lori Lightfoot said, I don't like the way that this elected school board is structured. So she put a brick on it. And essentially, Senate President John Cullerton said today, I will take that brick off and we will move this in the spring session. But there were no details about what that board would look like, how it would be constituted, who could run for those positions, what sort of districts they would be. So, it might be, sort of tempting to say, oh, look, the teachers union got this. They have already had this.
Right.
They've had this sort of we support you, statement. They wanted a commitment, and they wanted these bills to start moving. Because if you think about it, they're all Democrats down there in Springfield, right? They've got supermajorities in the House and the Senate, and they've got the governor's mansions. There's really nothing stopping the Democrats, if this is something they want to do, to pushing this all the way through. And that's what CTU was hoping to sort of force the mayor to do through these contract negotiations, to say, to commit in the contract to not sort of letting it be bottled up again like it has been, three times in the last 3 years.
And I get it. I totally get the Republican or the rejection from Bruce Rauner. He didn't want an elected school board, and I understand that. I don't think Rahm Emanuel wanted it either.
He did not.
Yeah, I get
they agreed on
that. But I feel like Lori Lightfoot and the mayor, she ran on it. She right? ran on a progressive camp. She was all about, I'm going to have an elected school board. She rallied ward after ward around doing this. And I see this trend, and it seems to be a trend in Illinois where maybe they know where the wind is blowing politically and they kind of go to it, but they don't actually have the guts or never intended to actually get it done in the first place.
My colleague over at the Sun-Times, Fran Spielman, had, I thought, a really interesting article a couple days back about how the last couple of weeks have really been an education, perhaps, for the mayor about the differences between running for mayor and actually being mayor. It's right. much easier to say, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. It's much harder to do X, Y, or Z once you get into office and you have to deal with what everybody else wants. Oh, and by the way, an $838 million budget deficit.
Heather Sharone's a managing editor over at Daily Line, dailyline.net. All right, so let me take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll talk not just about the teacher strike, but let's move on to some of the things that are happening in Springfield, including corruption and an effort to expel one of the members of the House of Representatives. I would say the first time in the State House since Derek Smith. Was it Derek Smith?
That's right.
Yeah. I remember that. All right, so we'll continue with Heather Sharone here on Extension 720 right after the break. Stay with us. 309 has a text that says, duh, when will the Dems learn they have been given promises for their votes for how long? Illinois should be a paradise for all by now, not just people with government pensions. You may read that text at some point and say, yeah, I've heard that over and over. But if you're a progressive voter, especially in the city of Chicago, some of these issues we're talking about tonight, when it comes to the Chicago Teachers Union contract, about some of the things that are happening in Springfield, about an elected school board, these are all things that you feel strongly about. Yet you're seeing your politicians who you voted for to execute those ideas not coming through or kicking the can down the road. Heather Sharone, managing editor of the Daily Line, Shy. You can find them on Twitter and Facebook and all over the place. And their newsletter's awesome in the morning. She covers everything Chicago and Illinois. We got to talk Springfield as a session has kicked off. And it's, again, I don't understand what's happening with the Democratic Party. They have had so much trouble. They're in complete power, yet the feds are breathing down their neck, whether it be the state senator Sandoval or now Representative Arroyo, who I've never seen anything like this, Heather. Looking at this story, I'm like, oh, so he got caught taking a bribe. No, he's the one who gave the bribe. That's
right.
Crazy. That's completely that's absurd.
Well, what makes it even crazier, and of course we should say that the representative has pled not guilty and he has said that he is innocent of the charges and all we have is the government side of things at this point. Mm-hmm. But if these allegations are true, it means that this scheme began after all of these raids started happening. And so this was alleged to have happened over the summer, where Representative Royer allegedly went to another state senator and said, look, I need to get this legislation passed because I'm a lobbyist for sweepstakes machines, which are not legal in Chicago, and there's been a push to legalize them. So he's trying to get that done, and he goes, and I'll give you $2,500 a month. And the source on this is the state senator is wearing a wire because he had gotten in trouble and had filed false tax returns.
It's like a sitcom. It's a comedy of errors. It's unfortunately
Absolutely.
Has everything to do with taxpayer money.
Right.
I just don't understand it. I've kind of railed and head scratched about this for a while, Heather. How it is possible in the state of Illinois that you can hold office, you can be an elected official and take taxpayer salary, and on the side be a lobbyist for private interest in government. I don't understand how that's allowed. How is that allowed?
Right. Well, I mean, that's the law. And technically, you're not allowed to lobby the same branch of government, which is why
right.
Representative Arroyo was lobbying, you know, he was lobbying on behalf of a city matter. He wasn't lobbying on a state matter. So it's all, but you're right. I think the only word for it is incestuous, right? Because how do you separate an elected official's private work from his public work? And, you know, the issue is that, of course, the General Assembly is supposed to be paid part-time. It's not a full-time legislature. And so, really, you know, all of the proposals to fix this have said, well, if you want to do this, you're going to have to pay legislators more so they can live on this salary. They don't have to have side hustles, essentially, which opens up, you know, it's more money. It could potentially complicate the pension issue. So there's not really a quick fix, but this does seem like it's coming to a head because we've seen so many of these different cases including Alderman Ed Burke, who's facing a 14-count indictment for something, you know, very similar. And he, of course, is also pled not guilty.
And doesn't just stop with people who have been accused of wrongdoing. I mean, there are so many different people who work in city government or county government or downstate in Springfield that are lobbying for other interests in any of the bodies I just mentioned. They may not be under federal indictment or under any sort of federal scrutiny, but they're doing it constantly. And I don't understand, just from a layman's standpoint, from just the listener's standpoint, how that is a thing that can happen in government.
Right?
Yeah, it blows my mind. And, and what does Mike Madigan say? What does he say? Does he say, I mean, as a leader of the Democratic Party, does he say, I'm gonna expel this this specific representative if he doesn't resign, and I'm going to fix this?
No, because Mike Madigan, of course, works as a property tax attorney. So he also has a side hustle that has impacted his, you know, official duties as the longest serving House Speaker in the nation. So if these laws were to change, that would directly affect, you know, his personal finances. And, you know, it wouldn't necessarily, I think, would be something that he would, you know, volunteer to do, because his firm is, you know, is very lucrative, because, you know, you want to have the Speaker of the House on your side, even if it's only just to have his name on your property tax deal.
Logically, it doesn't make sense, but I guess that's the law, right? Until somebody changes it. The governor, I mean, where's the governor stand? As sort of the, by proxy, the new leader of the Democrats in the state of Illinois, and he says he's going to run and come in and change it up and be transparent and bring a new day in politics. Does he weigh in on this stuff and suggest that possibly this could be the root of why people mistrust and call it the Chicago machine and everything else in between when it comes to corruption?
You know, I haven't seen that the governor's been pressed on the specific, you know, outside employment piece of things. He was interviewed as part of an event put on by Axios, the Washington, D.C. based news organization, and he was angry. He seemed angry that this was happening, and that he said he hopes everybody who's, you know, committed wrongdoing while in office goes to jail and is expelled. And he was very, you know, he's very straightforward about it. But it is an interesting situation, because in some ways, J.B. Pritzker is the head, of course, of the Illinois Democratic Party. But in some ways, he didn't come up through the ranks, right? Because he was a billionaire. He self-funded his run. He's not really beholden to somebody like Michael Madigan or anybody else to raise money or, you know, to trade favors as he climbed up the ladder. So he's somehow, you know, he's sort of outside this traditional structure, although he's now, you know, very much a part of it because he's in charge of it, really. Yeah.
Fascinating stuff, and that's going to be a bigger story as more comes out about it. All right, so as we wrap here, we were waiting to see how long do meetings for CTU delegates go? I mean, I was joking at the top. It's 700 plus people. Do they get to get through everybody who's got something to say about this contract?
Yes, yes, it's incredible. It's almost the purest form of democracy that I have witnessed. Where, you know, everybody has an equal vote. Everybody has an equal chance to have their say. So, you know, it could go very, very late tonight. And now it's 8 o'clock, which means that parents aren't going to get robocalls from CPS. They won't make them after 8 p.m. So I would encourage parents to check CPS social media, Facebook, and, of course, you know, all of my fine friends at the other news organizations, but mostly WGN, only focus on WGN.
There you go. Heather Chiron is a managing editor at The Daily Line. She joins us on Wednesdays, and she's got herself glued to the news tonight as the CTU delegates are meeting to possibly vote for a tentative contract that would end the Chicago teachers' strike. Possibly. Heather, thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here. I hope they don't decide it in the next couple of minutes, because I'm going to be listening to your interview with Liz Baer,
exactly.
One of my all-time favorites.
Liz,
so
I don't
I'm
have to...
honored to be even mentioned in the same breath as her.
There you go. Liz Baer coming up next here on 720 WGN.